traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome to Equestrians. This is Scott Miller, founder of International Equine Network. And today on International Equine Report, we're going to go through several of our programs. We're going to have quarter time. We're going to have flying turns. We're going to have last call. We're going to have at the wire. And then we're going to have our Derby Dozen for this year's Kentucky Derby, September 5th at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. You might hear a little noise every now and then. I'm mobile. I'm out on the farm. We've gone through a lot of rain here in South Florida. We're trying to get ready for the season. We got horses coming back here to train for the winter. They're starting to come early this year. And so it's going to have me out and about on the farm. And that's what a lot of these noises you might hear. The first segment we're going to do here is on quarter time. It's the international and domestic reporting of the AQHA. If you go to AQHA.com, you can go right to their website and you can get all the news, publications, the quick links, the help center. You can get everything involved with the quarter horse industries. It's amazing how large this association is. They're in Amarillo, Texas. They got a beautiful Hall of Fame there, museum, that you can go to. They have more than 220,000 members to the AQHA. And the AQHA kind of monitors and sets the rules and the guidelines for everybody in the quarter horse industry. If you go to their website, they got a multitude of breeds that they have. They have shows locally from the backyard event to the world championships at AQHA. I guarantee you, you are within 10, 15 minutes of an AQHA event in your area, no matter where you live at in this country. It's a great organization. If you go to AQHA.com, you can go and see everything that they encompass. They've got great movies. They've got great information. Sometimes if you're taking a vacation and you want to go to and you're going to Texas, it's worth a trip to Amarillo to see the Hall of Fame and everything else that you have there with them. So it's really good. I suggest you go to the website and take a look at it. One of the next segment we're going to take here, and we're going to go through these briefly, is flying turns. We were very fortunate here at Flying Turns to have the Hamiltonian winner this year. Her name was Ramona Hill. She's out of the Tony Amanya barn. She's a three-year-old filly, and that's the second one that we've had out of Sunshine Meadows here in the last 4 years. Now, the other one that we had was Atlanta, and she was trained by Rick Zero. And she's just an amazing, amazing filly. And this weekend, if you go to Flying Turns on the website, ientv.org, you'll be able to see her race. She'll be starting the Grand Circuit on Saturday, I believe, and it runs through August 21st at Vernon Downs. So if you'd like to see her run, just go to our website, ientv.org, and click on Flying Turns. She set tied a track record last in the Hamiltonian at the Meadowlands. And the ironic part about it was is the track record was set by her sire. And so that's really unusual to see that happen in such a short time that they do there. It's going to be a small field Saturday. Have Ramona Hill. She'll be the number one. She's at 3-2. Trained by Tony Alanya. Then we have Hypnotic Am. Marcus Maylander is the trainer at 5-2. Then we have Sorella, which is trained by Nancy Taxter at 8-5. And then we have Fortune Starlet at 10-1, trained by George Dutchhams. And then we have Tricky Sister, trained by Andrew Harris at 12-1. And if you go to our website this weekend, we've got plenty of live events that we have. We've got a lot on there. We've got some good movies. We've got some things that I think that you'd really be interested in. But please go to IENTV.org, and you can see our whole broadcast lineup. We're partnering up with a lot of different companies to bring you live broadcasting and to bring you things that would be of interest to everyone. The next show that we're doing, and I'm briefly going over all these because we're mobile today, as they say, is Chukar. And Chukar is it's a fantastic program. It's a weekly program, and if you go to our website, you'll be able to go right to Chukar TV. And Chukar TV is 24/7. It's live and tape programming. It has all kinds of interesting videos and information about polo, the international and domestic polo that we have. It tells you where polo is at, how to see it, and actually explains what polo is. And it's a fantastic website. You'd be surprised how many people have gone to that website and then gone directly to a polo match in their area, especially when you come to South Florida. If you come to South Florida, we have the Polo Hall of Fame in Lake Worth, Florida. And it's a good time to go. It's close to Wellington. It's close to the showgrounds. It's close to the polo ground. You're just minutes away. A lot of hotels in that area. And it's well worth the time to go in and see the Hall of Fame. You can see how they make polo mallets. You can see how they make the polo balls. You can see how they do everything. Everything they do is right there in Lake Worth at the Polo Hall of Fame. And it's worth the effort to go see. You would be surprised at who has played polo and you didn't know it. The celebrity, the government officials, the regular guys next door. You know, it's just amazing to find out the polo in this country. And again, it's like everything else, it's a question. You can go right somewhere in your area and find a polo match. Especially when you come to West Palm Beach, that's the premier polo venue in the world. Here in West Palm Beach in the Wellington area. So stop by and see Chukar on International Equal Network and take a look at it. And if you like it, you can click on to their website and it'll tell you how to get there, where the hotels are at, and when the polo matches are. So that's a good go of it. The next one that we're going to, it's called Last Call. Last Call is a program that is developed for the sales industry. We're trying to get as much information out about buying and selling horses as we can. And on Last Call, we do all breeds, and we do year-round. You know, it's just a great thing to go and watch. And again, another interesting fact is that you can find a horse sale in your area by going to our website, and you can actually go attend the sales. It doesn't cost you anything to go in. You can go into the sale grounds, and you can walk around. You can see the horses that are being sold, and you can see the owners and the trainers and the jockeys and the buyers. And, you know, it's a great way to spend an afternoon walking around the show grounds, looking at the horses, and then you can have lunch or have something to eat, and then you can attend the live auction. You can go into the arena, and you can sit down and you can watch all the horses go through the ring. And the greatest thing about it is you can grab a hold of a catalog and, try and see if you can figure out how much they're going to sell for. Will we sell for $50,000 or will we sell for $2 million? That's always good to go to, to do that. The Keeneland sales is coming up in September. It will be 12 sessions. There will be from September 13th to the 25th. That's when they'll have it. There are 4,272 yearlings being sold, so you're going to see the babies being sold. And it's really interesting to go see because you don't know which one of these horses could be running in the Breeders' Cup. You don't know which one of these horses could be, a Kentucky Derby, a Preakness, or a Belmont winner, or even a Triple Crown winner. And Keeneland's a beautiful venue to go to. The grounds are good. You can walk out and see the track. They've got a museum there. They've got a bookstore. The food is great. It's right close to the Kentucky Horse Park. So there's a lot of equestrian things to do there. And so I suggest when you go to Keeneland to the sales that you also go to the Kentucky Horse Park, which is just right within just 10 minutes of Keeneland. And you can see every breed of horse in the world at the Kentucky Horse Park. You can actually ride horses. You can participate in a lot of programs, and they've got a great little museum there. So it's good as well. Does Keeneland have a good museum? There with them. But that sale in September, it would be a good one to go to. 4,272 yearlings. In the September sales at Keeneland, 12 sessions, September 13th through the 24th. It'll be a good day or a good few days if you want to spend a few days there. And one of the other shows that we have on Last Call is about the standard bred industry. At Keeneland, by the way, Keeneland, it's all thoroughbred. It's all thoroughbred. Our other show that we have on Last Call is the standard bred horse sale that happens this time every year. It's out of the Black Book. And the Standard Bred Horse Sales Company announced that they are moving the sale to be held at the Maryland State Fairgrounds at 2200 York Road, Lutherville. It's at Timonium Racetrack in Maryland. And the reason they've moved it is because they have access to a tremendous area that they can scatter the horses out in. They can have the people do the social distancing. So the protocol is really good. And the sale dates are November 3rd to Thursday, November 5th. It's a mixed sale, and the mixed sale is on Friday, November 6th. And when I say mixed sale, I mean they sell babies, they sell broodmares, they sell horses of racing age, stallions, you name it, they'll have it there. And it's a great little thing to go to and take a look at it. And again, you can get up and get close to all the horses there. That's what I like about what we do here at International Equine Network. And that's the standard bred sale. It's November 3rd to November 5th, with the mixed sales being on November 6th. Actually, the first week in November, out and about, like you go on a vacation, we can take a look at it there. And then the counterpart to that, we have a selected yearling sale in Lexington, Kentucky, and that's on Tuesday, October 6th, and it will run through Friday, October 9th, and again on November 10th. The yearling sale will be followed by a mixed sale scheduled for Saturday, October 10th. And all sessions get underway at 7 p.m. at Fasig Tipton, the Newtown paddock in Lexington, Kentucky. And, that's really nice. Again, you're close to the Kentucky Horse Park. You're close to Keeneland, just in 10 minutes of it. And so that's what, we're looking at there. that was good Satter sales in there. Who knows? You might be able to buy a Kentucky Derby winner there. Or see one. You know, and they got beautiful catalogs that have good pictures and a lot of information in them. And so that's what, you know, when you go to the sales, you can make a day out of it. It's good for the family. It's all family friendly. Main place at the park, plenty of food there. And you get to meet some of the most famous trainers in the world, jockeys, drivers. You never can tell who you're going to meet there at the North sales there in Lexington. And so now, one of the things that we're getting into over here will be at the Meyer. This is going to be our good segment here. At the Meyer started back in 1983 when I first started into the business. And it was the thoroughbred business that I started in. And at Churchill Downs, I started work for Dewey Smith. And he took me under his wing and taught me the business. And I really didn't know anything at all about the business. And I've been very fortunate in my career to work with some of the top people in the business. Been very lucky. I worked for Shug McGahee. I worked for Dwayne Lucas. I worked at Windstar Farm. Transported horses all over the world for Air Service. Drove a horse van for Brooklyn Horse Transportation. So at the Wire started, basically I would be traveling so much and around the horses so much. And at that time, back in the early 80s, there was not a TVG or an HRTV. There wasn't any programming on. Basically, there was just radios, and it was the radio had the feature race of the day that lasted about 20 minutes, and then that was it. So I got to thinking, you know, over the years, what it would be like to have a video and radio show. So for the last 8 months here at IEN, we met up with BBS Radio, and so we found out a lot of things could be done. And BBS is on the cutting edge. They were moving that forward, and it became a simple fact that anybody can do it. And I'm living proof of that. Anybody can do it. They guide you, they direct you, they help you. But you got to have the program. And so that's why I started thinking about AfterWire, bringing all the future races that are coming up, bring all the races that are going leading to the Kentucky Derby and the Breeders' Cup, get behind the scenes with all the connections that I have in the horse and thoroughbred industry, and be able to talk to the trainers, be able to talk to the jockeys, to the owners. Be able to get up close and in person with all the people involved. Just be able to, you know, walk into the barn and see, you know, the Derby winner or a potential Derby winner. And also, and that's how At the Wire became. And then how International Equine Network spread out was one thing led to another, you might say. Being in the thoroughbred business and being around some of the best people and horses in the world gave me access to a lot of other things. And those things that I had access to were horses that retired from the racetrack. An owner would get a horse and retired from the racetrack, and if it didn't go to the breeding shed or if it wasn't sold, a lot of times the owners would you know, give it to their children to ride or, you know, sell it for riding or a show horse. And so long story short, I started looking at all the different avenues that the thoroughbreds had after retirement. And we started looking at the show horses and that were retiring, and or the thoroughbred racehorses that were retiring, and where they were showing at. You know, it was something else. I was up in Maryland where they had a Derby winning trainer had given one of the horses he had up. And the owner had his daughter showing, And so here we have at a horse show, we have a Derby winning trainer, we have a Derby winning owner, we have a Derby winning jockey, we have a Derby winning groom and hot walker, and they all showed up to see this show in Maryland. And it was phenomenal, you know, to see these people being brought together outside the racing of the business. And so there's a lot of horses that we follow like that. And now the standard bred business has come along, and they're producing from their retirement horses a tremendous amount of good show horses. For dressage especially, the standard breds are a hardy, very fit breed of horse, and they can take training. And dressage is easy for them because dressage is a learned discipline. It's not schooled like thoroughbreds are born to race and run, and standardbreds are born to trot and pace, and quarter horses are born to do barrel racing and what have you. And so standardbred makes a good crossover, for it there. And they have the sales, and they, when you go to the different shows, you can read about the history of them. And, what they've done and where they've been, and it's just a good thing to go see. And so that's one of the things that we've done here at the Wire, and it all started with At the Wire. And for example, this weekend on At the Wire on IENTV.org, we are partnered up with Fox Television Network, and partnered up with NYRA in New York, the New York Racing Association, and they give us their YouTube feeds off of their race days. And it's really a good thing. You can go and watch watch all the races. If you like to bet, then you can go to TVG or Twin Spires Farm or to NYRA Bets and open up an account. And, you can actually bet on the races. But what we do here in International Equine Network is we make available access to all these different events through partnerships that we do with the different associations. And we're getting to the point now to where each one of our TV shows and each one of our radio shows will have a radio talent or a radio host to bring each 30-minute show to our listeners and to our viewers. And that's what we're seeking now. We're seeking announcers and on-air talent for what we do. And so we're really excited about that. And if you know of anybody that's looking for a job, have them call, or go to our website, IENTV.org, or call me at 561-644-1272 and let us know what's going on. And our information's on the website. But Saturday, for example, there's a horse called Maximum Security. He drew post five for the Pacific Classic in Del Mar. And he made a successful return last month to the races. And he's ready to go. He's going in the $500,000 TVG Pacific Classic Stakes at Del Mar. This four-year-old New Year's Day colt is owned by Gary and Mary West and Coolmore Associates, Susan Magner and Michael Taylor and Derek Smith. He drew post five in the field of six on Saturday. He's the even money favorite for the race. He's trained by Bob Baffert. Maximum Security ran to victory in July 25th in San Diego Handicap. It was a grade two. And he's coming back slowly. He went out to the track on August 16th, prior to the Classic here. And he worked very well. He worked with his stablemate. and he went 7 furlongs in 1:25.2. And so everybody was very happy with his breed. Bob Baffert is really pleased. He said he's right on target with it. And so that's really going to be interesting. The Classic is 1.25 miles. It is a Breeders' Cup Challenge Series qualifier. So if he wins that, he'll be in the Breeders' Cup at on November 7th at the Longines Breeder Cup Classic in Keeneland. So that's what we're trying to do here at the Wires Breeding. Different programming, different races like that. And it's not going to be a walkover for you. It's not going to be a walkover. John Sadler has a horse in there in post position, too. He was 3-1 in the morning line with Flavin Kratt aboarding. John Sadler sent this high-powered for 6 furlong drill Sunday, and they were very pleased with it. It went 1:12.4. And so they're bringing him right into the race, good work, some good training. And he's an older horse, so he's been around and he knows the game and everything. So that's a higher pile on him with John Sadler on Saturday at Del Mar in the Pacific class. The number 3 horse is Midnight Loop. This gelding drew the rail and will be ridden by Victor Espinosa at 7-2 in the morning line. This horse is kind of a wonder who's going to show up, type of horse. He's completing the field of a good solid, a good solid race. There's no cheap horses in the field. Any one of the 6 could win it. Depends on how it's set up. So that's going to be interesting to see. I was really thinking about the program. They're out on the California coast in the former state. They're still trying to get to the Breeders' Cup. And so it's going to be interesting to see just how well they fare. And guys, I'm going to get on the move here. So you're going to hear some noise. We've got a storm coming in, rolling in here on the farm. We've got all the horses unloaded. So I'm headed back over to the office so I don't get hit by lightning or drowned in the rain. It's coming. I wish I was down in California for the Pacific Coast Classic to see these horses run, but unfortunately, they're going to have to stay here in South Florida to get into the office. We'll have videos starting next week of everything that we're doing. Start going to programs and videos. You'll get to see me, which is not going to be a very big thrill at all. I don't have the face or body for TV. It's questionable for radio. Along with the Pacific Coast Classic, we're only 3 weeks away from, or 2.5 weeks away from the Derby. And I go over the Derby dozen here a little bit. Top Derby, 12 Derby horses, I think, that are going to be there. It's going to be a 20-horse field we have in the Derby this year. And we're going to have a lot of new shooters. It's at a different time of year for the Derby. It's in the fall. So all these 3-year-olds are seasoned horses. They're not kids anymore. They got away from youth. Start to be put that man weight. It's going to be different to see how much they clear the first Saturday day before the Derby. The other thing is, next week we're going to have on the show, doctors have started using feeder bags. Every Derby prior to this has had an exalted exam rate starting gate on it. And they did a load. And they have two gates to load 20 horse. This is one solid starting gate, state of the art, with Churchill developed. So next week you'll be able to see the video and see exactly what the gate is. When we get to that portion of the program next week, we'll explain to you what going to the gate is. And when we go to the gate with a horse, it's called schooling. They school a horse in the gate, and they learn how to come out of the gate. And at this stage and point, when they're two-year-olds, they've never been in the gate. They've never been standing next to horses that are coming out of the gate. So it's a whole schooling process. That's why they call it schooling. And that can make or break a horse on how he is, you know, he's in school. And it started at the farm when they start breaking them to school. Now, a lot of farms have gates that they use, and they start straight to the gate. Then there are farms that have plywood panels, 4x8 sheets of plywood, that they put up, and they walk them through. They paint them black, and they walk them through because it's a neutral color for horses, and they don't get spooked. They don't shy from the gate or anything like that. And so when they take them to the gate and school them, it's a long process, and you have to school them out of the gate multiple times before the racing stewards or the track will let you race a horse. And so that's what we're going to show you next week. Talk about how they school. See it from many kids, what it's like to come out of the gate, you know, at one time. That's going to be good. But back to the racing end of it. What we have here at the Blyer is a weekly update of all the major horse racing events that will take place leading up to the Kentucky Derby, that will lead up to the Breeders' Cup. All the major horse races, we go from the two-year-old races early in the summer and early in the fall, and we go behind the scenes. We're going to talk to the jockeys and ask them if they really are as good as they were when they ran on the track. So, you know, that's what we'll be doing with that. And so now we're going to get into a couple of little things. The Pacific Coast Classic, Maximum Security, Saturday, IENTV.org, Fox TV. Just about anywhere you go in the horse business, you'll be able to find on there. So that's good. Now we're into let's see what we got here. Oh, yeah. Just found out today that New York Racing Association are going to reduce the days at Aqueduct and Belmont Park for the racing season. And the New York Racing Association, struggling under the financial weight of the COVID-19 pandemic, hit its business hard. It's planning to reduce the days for the fall meet at Aqueduct Racetrack and Belmont. They're doing this to maintain the stability in the purse structure. They'll keep the purses pretty much at the same rate. They've lost about 20% of the total race dates in 2020 since mid-March. And it's, in order to fight that loss, we're going to reduce the racing dates at Belmont and Aqueduct. And you might see a lot of other tracks starting to do this too, because we don't know where the virus is going. We don't know how soon it'll be back when they can get back up to full force. So that's one of their ways of trying to get back into the game and everything. So now we're here at what we call the Derby Dozen. keep looking at all these horses on Active Wire every week, all year long. And what we do is we throw them out. We see a race and we say, oh man, that horse, he's bred by the best, trained by the best, ridden by the best, got the best groom, got the best everything. And he runs up the track, you know, and you're looking for him. He's saying, hey, come on, what's the deal? Where is he at? You know, that type of thing. And so right now, this is the Derby Dozen. At the top of the list is a horse called Tis Now. Tis Now has done everything that they've asked of him. He won the Run Happy Travers Stakes back on August the 8th. He's got a 109 buyer speed figure and a 115 equibase speed figure. And when I say equibase, if you go to equibase, and you don't have to be knowledgeable of the business, but just go to equibase.com, and you can click on to any racetrack that's racing. They'll tell you who's racing, when they're racing. We get a lot of our information from Equibase, and it's really a good website to go to. You can educate yourself there, and it's not rocket science. It's just plain simple, you know, the basics of the horse business, and I think it's something that you would really like. Tis Now, he come out of the race good. He come out of the race good. Bunk the Tag said he was really pleased with the way he came out of the race. So having said that, in order for him to continue on to the Kentucky Derby, they have pointed him there, and that's be his next race. It's September 5th at the Kentucky Derby. And then 2 weeks later, it will be the Preakness at Pimlico. And then November 8th, the first weekend in November, he will be running in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And he is the top of the poll for the Breeders' Cup Classic. And that's unusual for, you know, a horse like him to come in and just jump and go right up to the top against older horse. And, you know, this is providing he does win the Kentucky Derby and everything keeps on going along. The second horse that we have in our Derby Dozen is called Art Collector. This horse is a real nice horse. He's training at Skylight Training Center. It's about 35 minutes away from Churchill Downs, and I was there at one time working, and it's a great track. A lot of good horses come out of there, good solid horses. It's quiet environment, real laid back. It's a fantastic place for a horse to just relax and enjoy himself. You know, and like I said, it's 30 minutes away from Churchill Downs, I think he's a good horse. I think he's going to run good. But again, it goes back to how solid is he? Can he take a 20 horse field? Can he take the mile and a quarter against good horses? It's a tough road to go when you got good horses against you. They dictate the pace to you. You don't dictate the pace to them, especially in the Derby, because the first time you run down that stretch coming out of that gate at Churchill, that's your horse running. That's the trainer's training. That's the jockey ride. But when you hit that turn at the head of the stretch at Churchill, it all goes back to the mama and to the daddy, to the sire and to the mare. That's who gets the horse home down the stretch at Churchill. And sometimes the horse can reach down into the well and pull out a bucket of water and just, you know, fly down the stretch. And so it's a good test on the horse. And you don't get that test, unfortunately, until the Kentucky Derby. Well, this year, in the Travers Stakes at a mile and a quarter, they got that test. So we know who can make the mile and a quarter and who can't. Our third horse is John Sharif, which is a California trainer, Honor AP. He's an honor code horse with Mike Smith, and Mike Smith is phenomenal. He can get him there. He knows what it takes to get there. He's been there and done that. They breezed him August 15th in a move that came in the early afternoon. Smith got after him a little bit, and they got him in 159-2 for 5 furlongs. It was 2 seconds quicker than his best Del Mar move before a stakes race. So now that's telling us, you know, that he's coming along good. You know, he knows what it's all about, and he had it down in him to pick it up a little bit and come on down. I don't know if you can hear the thunder and lightning, but we're getting really hammered here with the weather. And then the horse that's got me most interested in the Derby, it's a horse called Authenticate. He's a Bob Baffert trained horse, and this horse, there's something about him when you look at him, when you see him moving on the track. He had an easy breeze on August the 8th. I just don't know. Everything he does seems to do effortlessly and easy. And Bob Baffert was heard to say that he thinks this horse might be a monster. He might be another Arrogate. He's just coming along good. This horse is, all his runs have been from the clubhouse turning down the lane. And he's still green and still immature, but he's got it down. And so we don't know how much he's going to grow up between, now and then. But they're really pleased with him. So I don't know what to tell you. I think that's my Derby bet. I think he might be, we've bet $1.50 on him. See what happens with him. The fourth horse that we have on our list is Into Mischief. This horse is a nice horse. He had an easy breeze August 8th. TVG.com Haskell stakes winner turn in the kind of workout August 13th, often seen from a Bob Baffert stakes winner. I tell you, this one I can't really get into this horse. He's a nice horse, but there's something missing. There's something missing from him. He's another horse that's still learning. He's a green immature. And he's got to make the cross-country tour to Churchill with COVID and everything. A lot of things have changed in his normal routine. So we're just going to see what happens with him. The number five on our list is New York Traffic. This horse is a nice horse. He worked with the 2019 Pennsylvania Derby winner, Math Wizard, and finished on near to even terms with him for 5 furlongs. So he did get an experienced horse on the inside of him to run, and that's what I think these horses have needed. Now, we don't know how many of the horses in the Derby doesn't have really worked with older horses or, just how they step them up. Because training for the Derby in the spring is a whole different ballgame. It takes from November until May to get them on the right training program. And now that training program has been all upset, and that training was altered and changed, they've gone through growth spurts and things of that nature, it makes a big difference. when I was with Elliott Walden and Windstar Farm, we would weigh our horses every week. And Elliott, what he would do is he would adjust training schedules accordingly. If we noticed a growth spurt, a horse gaining a lot of weight, we would change, things would change. And if they didn't gain any weight or if they lost weight, you know, things would change. And that all happens through, May through May of their two-year-old through May of their three-year-old year. It's a big growing point for them. And then from that May on, from the training and the growth spurts and all the things that they go through, changes dramatically for them. We get that man weight, as they call it, that athletic weight on, and they learn to recover from workouts, and they learn to recover from from races, and that's the main thing. And all these trainers that we have here, they're very good at teaching horses to recover from training or from racing and their workouts that they do. So we mark those. Bob Baffert is a good example. Bob Baffert, I tell you, to have the Triple Crown winners that he's had in Arrogate. Arrogate might be the best horse he ever trained, but he didn't make the Derby because he was growing and he had injuries and had all these different things. But yet he comes back and sets multiple track records. Nobody could even stay with him, And so the Bob knows how to get a horse, back from him. Smith Wizard was a good horse, a good solid horse. And when they did the 5 furlongs on New York traffic, it was on the main, it was at Saratoga on the main track, which is good. Because the main track has a little bit different setting than, the training track or the farm. And, I tell you, New York traffic, if he lives up to his name, he'll handle the Churchill traffic, that's for sure. That will be for sure. And then you'll have to forgive me on this, but then our sixth horse is King Goemore. I'm not real good on names. But this horse is an Uncle Mo horse, which it was a solid horse, and an Uncle Mo ran and was tested a lot. His racing career was good. It could have been better. There were same circumstances that stopped Uncle Mo from probably being the best horse that he could have been. The Derby this year, this horse has been unraced for 4 months. He had a second in the division of the Arkansas Derby, and he was unlikely to return as a short horse. He delivered a blow breeze on August the 15th, 59-2 at Churchill Downs. Just passing the finish line, he blew past a few slower horses, moving workers, knifing between them, entering the clubhouse turn. The colt ran his finest race. This horse was just unbelievable, he did. And that came out of the Tampa Bay Derby. And in Tampa, it's a good setting for that. That's why he had a good work at Churchill Downs. And we're gonna watch him real close. Caracaro is our seventh horse, another Uncle Moo horse. This runner-up finished in the Travers this year. He was ridden by Javier Castellano, which is a Hall of Fame rider, and he's expected to go to Kentucky to ride this horse. And when Javier goes to ride a horse, and he's not talking much about the horse, this horse could be dangerous. He could be dangerous. So that's what we're hoping to see. How he does. He's lightly raced, and he's got a lot of room for improvement. The question is he going to improve on Derby Day? If he improves on Derby Day, he's the winner.
And then a horse that I've always liked, his name is Dr. Post. He's a Todd Pletcher trained horse. And Todd's always there at the Derby. He had Always Dreaming, Super Saver. These guys are coming along very good. You know, Todd did not immediately commit to the Derby after Dr. Post ran third in the Haskell. If the colt makes his way to Louisville, it would appear it's because his training warrants giving him a shot. And Todd will not run a horse unless he's got a shot at the race. That's for sure. We know Todd a long time, how he does his training. You know, with him. In terms of buyer speed rating, he had a pair of 95 ratings. He ran equivalent and raced in the Haskell as he did second in the Belmont Stakes. So, you know, he's been around the season horses. Todd got him ready for, you know, what he needed to do. And so it's going to be interesting to see. Now, remember, if Todd sends this horse on to Churchill and enters him in the Derby, take a good look at it. Take a real good look at this horse. You know, because he's not going there to run second or third this time. He's going there to win, and that's for sure. We have the nine horse in our Derby dozen is Max Player. He's a Steve Asmussen trained horse. This horse is awesome. Steve gets him ready. Steve hasn't won a Derby yet, but he's on his way to it. This could be the horse that gets him there. He was on the grounds at Churchill Downs, and he was previously trained by Linda Rice, and the owners decided to send him to Steve Asmussen following the Travelers. Steve said, "I'm excited to get him to Churchill because I'm a believer. It's good for a horse to train over the track that he's going to run for, you know, a period of time. He's really good." George Hall said the colt breed 5 furlongs, 101-4 on August 17th, galloping out in 114-3. So evidently he has made the change and transition from New York to Churchill. He likes to track, but again, you know, it's a whole different ball game. New training, new seed, new groom, new riders, new track. You don't know how the horse is going to really react to that. Then Bob Baffert has a horse called 1,000 Words. And this horse at the beginning of the spring was really a horse that everybody, you know, was saying, "Oh, my goodness, you know, this horse can run, he can do this, he can do that." So now we're looking at it saying, what is this horse going to do? Who is this horse? Where did he come from? He's gotten around a lot of good stable mates. He's in good company. You know, they say class is as class does. And that's what he's doing. He's training and running with classy horses. And when you get in a barn like Baffert's, the competitiveness that's instilled in each one of the horses comes from within. Because Bob, every time Bob sends horses out to train with each other, there's a little bit of an edge they're trying to get. And so I think 1,000 Words, he might be all right, but I'll be honest, I think he's a horse that's going to be you know, backing down a little bit. I don't think he's going to be one that can run in that kind of company week in and week out, especially once he's getting ready to face. Our 11th horse is Sol Valentente. Patrick Miacolo is the trainer. And this horse is a horse that I think is going to be right there. I think he's going to be there. He's a late runner. He's going to be really going at it. I tell you, if he gets the right trip and he closes, this horse can be right there on the wire, if not winning it, running a close second. And so I think he's going to be my horse that it will be in the photo. He will be in the photo, I guarantee it, because of his late running ability. He needs to have pace in the race. If he doesn't get any pace in the race, then they could just swallow him up and he'd just be searching for a place to finish, you know, that type of thing. And then my last horse, and I like this trainer very much. It's Mark Cassie. It's Enforceable. And John Oxley, the owner, they're a good team. They are a good team. This is a Tappan horse. And he was fourth the last time out in the Bluegrass. And he's another one that would be rallying from the rear, half of the pack. So depending on how the first half goes in the Derby, where he's at, where he's placing, depending on how far the field is spread out and how much negotiating, you know, to the finish line he has to do, you know, he could be good. And he has shown that he can catch up early in the mid stretch. And this goes back to the starting gate now. With that solid starting gate, 20 horse solid starting gate, there's no gap. And so when they break from the gate this time, it's a whole different ball game coming down that stretch the first time. Yeah, you know, so that's going to be something that we'll see if he can do. He might be able to do it. Mark Cassie's a great trainer, and he knows how to get the horses there. He has two victories. He's just ahead behind in April, and he's made. He went last year and was in front at the same call in taking the Macomb Stakes. He brings 5 furlongs on Monday from the gate in 101 and 2. Now, I don't know if that was from the new gate at Churchill or, you know, just where it was, you know, how they did that. I'll have to find that out. But, folks, next week, tune in to listen to us and see us next week. And we'll have the Kentucky Derby update and see who's what, because Derby's right around the corner. We'll have some Derby doings going on. And we'll have talk about some Derby foods, some Derby parties that you can have, how you can get access to all the different websites for the Kentucky Derby. And most importantly, we're going to have that solid 20-stall starting gate. First time in the history of Churchill that they've got a new gate. And we would like for everybody to tune in, see what it is. And then next week, if you go to our website, get my phone number, get my email address at intv.org, we're going to give away a year's membership to ship.com. Ship.com. And it's good anywhere in the country. You can go to their website. It's on my website. And you can have groceries delivered to your house for free. Now, you got to pay for the groceries, and the groceries are the same price as they are in the store. And many, many different outlets that you can go, like Petco. You can go to Office Depot. Here in South Florida, we have Publix, Winn-Dixie. Costco, CVS, you know, that type of thing. And then in your area, they partnered up with local stores, you know, that service your area. But the first caller that calls us next week will get a free year's membership to ship.com. So, folks, I've enjoyed trying to get through this day today again. This week is another struggle, but we're winning our way over. And to all the equestrians out there, remember how important it is. It's the journey that gets you there. It's not the win. It's the journey that gets you there. And we ask you to tune in next week and take that journey with IEM on the International Equine Network.